Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
If she wins, says the Russian woman in America.
If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this.
In Russia. That's all panimaish.
Are you kidding me? Is that like the best comment ever? So last night, yours truly was at a private venue watching the election returns. At first, I was going to stay home with the dog, but then I got depressed at the thought of watching the debate alone with the dog. I said, I can't be alone one more night. So I went into San Francisco to a private venue, figuring it would be 99% liberals. But I figured, whatever it is, I'd rather be around people. At least I can observe how libs will react to the debate. Well, I have a lot of observations from last night, and I'd like yours as well. Where did you watch the debate last night? What were the reactions if you were with people? What was your reaction to last night? But having said all of that and set the show up for the next couple of minutes, I got to tell you that I was quite surprised last night by the lack of reaction from the audience. There were a lot of younger people there. I would say a good percentage of them were in their 30s. I'm total of maybe 100, 200 people, maybe 100 people. I don't know. And no one commented during the debate. I was muttering to myself while drinking a vodka martini, and I didn't want them to hear me. They don't know. I don't think they know who I am at all. It's good. It's a private venue where I keep a very low profile, if I can, because a guy like me can never keep a low profile. That's like saying whatever. But the point is, I'm not well known there because I'm a new member of this private venue. But these were a lot of younger people there who were either applying or whatever. They were probably liberals, having come out of America's universities. They were intelligent people, well-dressed. I figured they'd be cheering for her, not a murmur. I thought they'd be kind of laughing or sneering at Trump, not a sign. Can you believe this? So I was surprised last night, to be very honest with you. And then, of course, there were people who were on my side, and they came over, and we shook hands. And one of the folks was an originally a Russian citizen who I asked her, what do you think? And I got to play again for you. Will you listen? Here's the opening to the show again.
If she wins, says the Russian woman in America.
If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this.
In Russia.
Hold it. Stop. Now, do you realize how succinct that statement is? I mean, we'd have to spend paragraphs, hours saying what she just said. And that's in translation in her head. If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this. Bingo. It's succinct. It's like science writing. Anyway, that's life. Well, what's your observation? Who won? My opinion? First debate, she won. Second debate, he won. Last night was a draw. If it was a three-round fight, the whole thing is a draw, by the way. It's like the nation itself is 50-50. We don't know how this is going to end up. Now, with the voter fraud out there and the Soros counting machines out there, it doesn't look good for me. Doesn't look good for America. And as I was taking my morning constitutional bicycle ride, me and Dr. Kellogg, this morning, I was thinking, what will America be like a year from now if this monster wins? What is it going to be like if she actually can jam through all of her left-wing fanatical agenda? Well, I had the nightmarish visions of first goes the First Amendment, and it won't go overnight. She's not going to suddenly say you can't say what you want or write what you want or publish what you want. That is not how sneaks do it. That is not how liars do it. That's not how demagogues do it. That is not how dictatorships emerge. We are already halfway there. We're more than halfway there because of the greatest sneak in the history of the American. The man snuck his way into the White House. The man pulled off another charade and won a second time. The man in the White House has taken us at least 50-60% down the road of the Soviet system. Maybe in some areas, 100%. We now have the number one spying system in the whole world and is being used to spy on ordinary Americans. That means you. That means you liberals. It means you libertarians. It means you anarchists. It means you sex maniacs. All of you are being spied upon by the government you elected under Barry. So it's only a step now, one or two steps from that, to the secret police rounding people up who, let us say, post something on social networks that they find threatening to the social order. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was done already. Oh, they're already rounding him up. I'm sorry, I missed that one. Oh, sorry, the FBI already does that. I think they already come to the house and take you away with a bag over your head. That's right, suddenly we become Argentina. Only this time it's not the generals. This time it's the feminists behind it. So I think that will get worse. Me? I'll give you an example. I'll go back to something dear to me, banned in Britain. You know I uncovered through the WikiLeaks last weekend a letter from Hillary Clinton, an email from her account saying don't do anything for Michael Savage. It was a shocking story. I screamed about it. I railed against this. I couldn't believe this on Monday. Almost zero effect on the media. The media is now Izvestia. The media is already Pravda. After 8 years of Barry, we have Pravda and Izvestia in place. Gone. Finished. There is no independent media. Except for a few sites. A few talk show hosts. That's it. It's gone. It's government-controlled media, government-controlled press. How? Do they tell them what to say? They may as well give them a script every day. So what's the difference? So the few independent voices will disappear. I don't mean we'll be rounded up with bags over our head, comma, necessarily, period. But let's say there will be laws put in place by the fascist dictatorship of the feminists around Hillary. And these fascists will not stop until they crush every opponent in America. Now, having said that, I have a positive note. I don't want to make it so dark. Wait, now let me go back to the... I do have one positive note. It's about Mark Zuckerberg defending Trump. You won't believe this. I have an email that Mark Zuckerberg sent that is so promising, it's frightening. Who knows, he could come to our rescue yet. He actually defended Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg owns Facebook, an all-around genius. I don't like his politics. But he's endorsing Peter Thiel to his Facebook staff in a leaked internal menu. He's supporting Peter Thiel. I'll tell you more about it. It's a very important story. It shows you that there's hope. Because if Mark Zuckerberg can support opponents of his politically, calling it political diversity, there is hope for America. The problem is Hillary's people don't believe in diversity in political opinion. They are pure, absolute ideologues of the worst kind. But going back to banned in Britain, so I found the email from WikiLeaks, and what we did was we got lots of coverage, no coverage. Few people talked about it. That was the end of it. So I dug up copies of the book, which we found, and I put it up for sale, whatever. Then I realized most people don't want to buy an old book. It costs a lot of money because they're rare copies. I found the e-file of the book, the digital file of Banned in Britain, with the entire documentation of what this State Department did to me and what it will do to you. Well, guess what? Racing around the clock with a staff of a few people very dedicated to this freedom of the press thing, we now have to offer you for only a few dollars the digital copy of Banned in Britain. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. I'm not going to get rich from it. If I sell 1,000 copies, add up the money at $5 or so. What, am I going to get rich from $5,000? No. But the 1,000 copies that might sell, or 2,000, if that, would go in the hands of the American Patriot Movement, who will have a permanent record before this book is either thrown into a pyre, and she burns books or she bans books. You will see who she is. You won't be able to see who she is after January if she wins, okay? So now, having said that, now we move back. Panya Mayesh yet? Do you follow? I didn't even know that my assistant was with me. I was at the bar. He can't drink because he drives. That's the beauty. Having a designated driver as an assistant is wonderful. Because given that he is of a certain background which likes to drink, I'm very fortunate that he's the driver and I'm not. So I had already, I drank heavily last night, I got to be honest with you. I knew it was a tense night. Some nights I don't drink anything, just so you know. Don't say, oh, he drinks a lot. I never drink during the day. Let me clear it up. Never, except maybe a weekend I'll have a glass of beer. That's about it. I usually never drink because it makes me groggy, tired. But last night, okay, so a couple of drinks into the night, and I'm not complaining about it. Hemingway used to say that guy's four drinks short. I used to like that line. Or when he didn't like someone, he said that guy's three drinks short. Okay, we know how Hemingway ended up with the shotgun in his mouth. That's not a pretty story in Ketchum, Idaho. But the thing is, that doesn't diminish what he achieved, nor does it diminish his greatness as a writer. Nor does it diminish his greatness as a drinker. He was a great drinker and a great writer. And those days are over. No one is like anymore being the drunk writer. You remember those days? Everyone thought they had to be drunk to be a writer, or they had to be stoned to be a writer. Those days are over. No one. There's kale juice in writing today. Today it's kale juice writers, and look at the wonderful fiction we're getting. Isn't that great? Maybe they ought to go back to being big drunks who smoke a little bit. Maybe we'll get fiction again. Maybe that's what you need to do, is put down your kale and pick up the, I don't even know what matches with a K. Is there a drink that matches a K? Put down your kale and pick up the keg? That's not bad. Okay. Yeah, my Irish eyes are smiling. So I was two, three drinks into the night, and I start chatting with the folks who were there, and again, I said, tell my audience, and I didn't know my assistant was I did say recorded. I didn't know till a minute before the show he actually recorded it. It's on the log. Look at the quality of that iPhone. Ryan, what iPhone is that? iWatt that I bought you? You have an i6? I have an i1 that looks like a grand piano. Mine looks like the kind of computers they used in World War II. I mean, you need a whole room for the iPhone I have. Remember the early computers were the size of a room? I have the old, it's like I have an i1, an i2. I look like a Ford Pinto of the iPhones. The reason I have it is it can't be tracked. My iPhone cannot be tracked. It's so primitive, number one. And number two, it comes with a battery case around it, so if you drop it, nothing happens to it. But anyway, his is the good one. He can be tracked. He recorded this. You got to hear it again. Listen to how succinct this Russian lady is in telling us what to expect when the Dragon Lady wins, if that's what happens. Listen again.
If she wins, says the Russian woman in America.
If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this.
In Russia. That's all panimaish.
You know, maybe I ought to do more of these live on the scene with the recording thing. I think that would be fun. You know, one-liners, two-liners, an interview with a chef. Because right now, I'll tell you the truth, I have election fatigue beyond election fatigue. I have election death. I've had enough. I can't take another second. Can we vote today? Is there a chance we can possibly vote today? Or must we pay the piper of the people who run the media, the government media complex, who want to milk us for every last ounce of our DNA? How much can we take of this crap? I'll tell you what I'm going to demand. Of course, it'll go nowhere. I demand that the election systems in America be changed. I am sick of this. I want presidential elections to be no longer than 90 days. I am sick of this garbage. This is an outrage. It's sickening. It's paralyzed the nation. It has embarrassed the world. It has exhausted the intellect of the United States of America, and we deserve better. This election system was created at a time when there was not even a telegraph. There was no telegram. There was no typewriter. There was no telephone. There was no internet. What the heck do we need an election system like this for in an age of instant communication? It's an outrage. It's an insult. 90 days or less, I've had enough of this. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do right now, I'd rather read some recipes from an Italian cookbook that I have than talk about Donald Trump and whatever her name is. But I'll be back in a moment to do just that. That is to talk about whatever her name is and Donald Trump on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Was a conspiracy like a UFO brought the plane down to kill Buddy Holly because he was too American and he loved the Second Amendment? I don't know. People die, planes fall out of the sky. I mean, it happened to JFK Jr. There was no conspiracy. Just because he sat in the seat that Hillary later took, and he was guaranteed to be the next Democrat nominee and probably the next president, please don't bring up conspiracy theories about his plane going down over the Long Island Sound. You know that that was a pure accident. Planes go down. Vince Foster, I mean, the gun was backwards on his thumb. That's how people do it. When they want to knock themselves off, they put it on their thumb backwards. And the thumb is broken. Please stop with the conspiracy theories about Marcy Park, please. All of these dark conspiracy theories, please.
JFK's plane, look it up again. He was going to take the guaranteed Democrat seat in New York that Moynihan had occupied, the known liberal Democrat seat. Moynihan was a true liberal, a great liberal, a fine liberal, an honest liberal, the type who would say, I may disagree with you, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. That's true liberalism, as opposed to the Prags who have come along now in their place, the Prague Soviets. Zuckerberg defends Trump endorsing Peter Thiel to Facebook staff in leaked internal memo. This is our only hope right now. If she wins, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is defending his company's relationship with its board member Peter Thiel after news that the latter would be donating $1.25 million to the presidential campaign of Mr. Donald Trump. Zuckerberg's comments came in the form of an internal memo reportedly posted to the company's intra-company Facebook platform. Hacker News acquired a photograph of the post, and Boing Boing wrote the initial report. This is a very big deal, because it shows Zuckerberg is not as leftist, not as a great a threat to our freedom of speech, or freedom of the press, as you may think. And since he is so powerful and so high up in the food chain, there is hope that if he does this, then the Google boys will do it, and the others will stand up to any fascism that may come along down from the campaign of Hillary Clinton. This is how I see it. I realize I'm ahead of the curve, and you're not following this 100% yet, all of you. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying this is not well known. In other words, not only the memo, which I'm going to read you when I come back, a five-paragraph statement to employees saying that Mr. Peter Thiel is a valued board member because his opinion, be it political or not, represents a diversity among the company staff. That is the first break with the fascism of the left that I have seen at a major level. And if Zuckerberg is doing this, it means that the others will do it. It means they're aware that 50% of the country will be pissed off if Trump doesn't win.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
She wins, says the Russian woman in America.
If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this.
In Russia.
That's all. That's enough. That's enough. That's all. Very simple. Interesting. If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this. Now, these are people who fled the Soviet system many years ago, 20, 30 years ago. And they came to the greatest country on earth. They came to Ronald Reagan's America. And they loved this country, and they worked hard. And they built a life for themselves. And it was good, and life was good. And slowly something happened. Slowly something started to change, and they didn't like what was happening. And yet there were always a few voices out there who were trying to stop the change from happening. Those voices were usually found in talk radio. We were called right wing. We were called every name under the sun. But we were never really what they were saying we were. We were the true American voices. We were the voices of freedom. We were the underground voices of America trying to stop the insanity. The people wanted to rush over the cliff of collectivism. They wanted a single leader. They did not want the mess of an election. They didn't want the mess of a media that disagreed. They didn't even like the mess of a debate. They wanted a smooth America where things were smoothed out, where one man or one woman would give them everything they needed from birth until death. And if you didn't fit in, you went to the gulag. The gulag has already started in America. It's called affirmative action. The gulag started 30 years ago. Here I am, white guy, killed myself, immigrant son, wanted to be a college professor, earned two master's degrees, one of which was published in its entirety in a journal of Harvard University, which is considered, you got to understand something about the scholarly world. One of the great honors is to have your thesis published in a legitimate journal. So I decided I'll have my thesis published in a great journal, and I did. That was my master's thesis. Then my PhD dissertation was published as a book, almost unheard of. Very few people have ever had that happen. And guess what happened? White males need not apply. Already the Soviet system had been put in place here. But here's the twist. Instead of Communist Party members being put on the head of the hiring list, instead of Communist Party members being put on the head of the scholarship list, and all others relegated to a secondary or tertiary position, it was based upon gender, race, immigration status, etc. It was not based upon quality. And so America's quality started to go down. The language itself started to diminish. And there was little quality left in so many fields in America, except in the very, very hard sciences or in engineering. Everything else had been melted down to a lower level. And it's only the beginning of where this will go unless it's stopped. And you know if she wins, it's not going to be stopped. Now, you can hear in my voice that I'm not optimistic that Donald Trump is going to be president. I don't know if he can win. I actually, how does anyone really know how this is going to turn out? We know he needed a knockout last night, and we know he didn't get it. Let's put it to you that way, all right? The first two were a draw. This was a draw. It's a three-round fight, and it's like, no one's a winner. He needed a definitive knockout. When I walked into the bar last night, the first thing I noticed was a subdued Donald Trump. He seemed very muted. It didn't even look like him. The bluster was gone, but it was a calculation on his part to be very measured, very controlled, and not come across as too hard. Because his staff told him, and I don't know if they're right or wrong, to, not look threatening, don't look like an alpha male, make yourself look like one of the stooges in corporate America, a clipped male, a muted male. I mean, isn't that what you saw last night? He made his points, but they didn't come across as strongly as I would have liked. Now, of course, look, there's always the risk that if he went off like a rocket and became a talk show host up there, he certainly would have appealed to his base even more so. But would he have alienated the middle of the roaders, though those who don't know? It's hard to say. Maybe his staff made the right decision. I can't tell you. We'll have to see what comes out of this. But my reaction was he was a little too muted for me. He looked very presidential. He was in control. He landed a few shots. There was no knockout. I was shocked by one thing, and I'll admit it. I'm an honest guy. I was leery of Meatloaf Jr. I put Meatloaf Jr. down. I when I had Donald Trump on the show Monday, I told him if Meatloaf comes at him, what to do. I was shocked that Meatloaf was the best of all the moderators. Meatloaf, my hat goes off to you. No, I'm telling you, Wallace was the most dignified of all the moderators to date. He's far better than any of the others. That's what I saw. He surprised me. That's all. Nevertheless, the issue of the debate itself is the issue of the debate itself. Who won? How can you answer that? It is so subjective that it's impossible to answer. Someone sent this to me, is America good? While watching last night, this young lady wrote, I had to know where that quote Hillary keeps using came from. Clinton kept saying America is great because America is good. It's out of context. She said the quote is attributed to Alexis de Tocqueville, although the authorship is challenged by historians. Regardless, it seems almost prophetic. Is America still good? Will we continue to be so? She said, I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school system and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her Democratic Congress and in her matchless Constitution. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And the individual who sent this to me summarized it in one sentence as follows. The safeguard of morality is religion, and morality is the best security of law, as well as the surest pledge of freedom. Isn't that beautiful? I hope you enjoyed that, because the churches are emptying out. They become basically drunk tanks. There's a church in the area where I live. No one goes to it anymore. It's in an affluent neighborhood. The pews are empty. The people don't believe in anything out here except, though, I guess, meal appliances or something along that line. They sort of worship cars and appliances in the area in which I live. They're like cargo cultists in New Guinea. That's okay. We all are. But the churches are empty. Except on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights when DUI people have to go there to take some kind of rehab of some kind to hear how bad they were. And it's mainly all white males in their 20s and 30s, guys who are picked on by the police because they're safe. I'm not saying you should let drunks drive, but let's be clear. take a look at the complexion, the constitution, the makeup of most people sent to these DUI meetings on Tuesday and Thursday nights in churches. They're all white kids, 20s, 30s, guys who have jobs. They're picked on because they're easy targets. They don't have guns. They're not going to shoot a cop. Now they should be told that they can't drive when they're drunk. But do you know how many people are in prison right now in San Quentin prison? I live near San Quentin prison. You don't know what percentage of people are in that prison for DUI. Do you know that? You don't have any idea what an industry DUI has become in this country. Now, I know people shouldn't drive when they drink. I don't. Absolutely don't either. I use Uber. I have a driver. But the fact of the matter is something is really wrong in our society when people are jailed for virtually anything and everything, while the real gangsters, the real criminals, run for office. Yes, that's true. I'm reading the biography of biography of Al Capone. So, well, what are you reading that for? Well, first of all, I'm fascinated by gangsters. And the overlap between gangsters and politicians, as we know from this election, has become rather interesting. Need I say who I am talking about? Well, it depends on which side of the aisle you're on. You'll say that one's a gangster, the other will say that one's a gangster. Well, no, the answer is those who have used a foundation as a slush fund to receive hundreds of millions of dollars, some from enemies of America, to gain access to the State Department. To me, that's pure the activity of Al Capone. If Al Capone had a wife and he ran a Mrs. Capone for president, you'd have what you have right now. You don't know this. This is exactly like that. But it's also, I'm reading the Al Capone book because of the pictures. I always get them. I like to see the pictures first. I'm always curious what people actually look like and their children and the wives. It always amazes me when you actually see them in a picture as opposed to the fictionalized version. And there, of course, were the pictures of his Palm Island estate in Florida. I know Palm Island very well because I knew someone who had a house directly across the street from Al Capone's old house on Palm Island. And, of course, we were all interested in Al Capone's old house. It's, by today's standards, it was quite shabby. Someone bought it a few years ago and knocked it down and built a new mansion. But it was never big. Things in those days were on a different scale, by the way, by and large. And then, of course, the story had the syphilis. And he'd sit around in his bathrobe in his later years, and he'd go fishing in a swimming pool, although that's reputedly just fictionalized. Then his pictures of him putting on weight around the end of his life when he was released from prison after the stint for syphilis. They let him out, and they show him getting a little heavy, and they said because of his mother's cooking. Good Italian boy. His mama still loved him. She said he was a good boy. You know, mothers always stick with their sons. That's the beauty of family. It's like what you see today in San Francisco when they catch a gangbanger who just shot an innocent tourist. He's a good boy. My boy is a good boy. He was on the way to medical school. He was going to be a great surgeon with the tattoos on the neck. Yeah, okay. But nothing changed in that regard. Mothers still love their sons, and they should. But Mama Capone cooked for him to the end, packed on a little weight around the waist. And the observation here is not directly related to the campaign, obviously, but it's interesting to me. Because the bigger the criminal you are, the higher you can go in the political process in this nation of ours. It's a sad statement, but it's true. You look back, and you see the interlocking relationship between pure criminality and the political system in this country in a way that's actually quite embarrassing. We like to believe it can't happen here, it doesn't happen here, it only happens in places like Russia. You don't have to look to Russia to see the relationship between criminal behavior and politics, do you? Do I have to spell it out for you? I don't think so. I think we all know about the corruption. So is this a sad day or is this a happy day? For me, it's a day of relief. It's a day of relief. I can't take it anymore. Not only do I have election fatigue, I hate it all. I hate the whole process. I wish to God we could just vote by Friday and by Monday know who the president is. And you know, you have to ask yourself why they've made this go on so long. The establishment knows what they're doing. They have made us pay attention to this for so long now. Why? To distract us from the actual criminality that they are engaging in. From the incompetence and criminality of the Obama administration all the way down through the Senate and House. Take a look at what the world looks like today compared to what the world looked like before Barry Obama invaded the White House. The races are at war with each other. Nations are at war with each other. Russia, which was our ally before Obama took office, is now almost at the point of a shooting war with us, sailing a great fleet through the English Channel. But you wouldn't know that because if you turn your channels on, you don't see the English Channel with the Russian fleet sailing through the English Channel, do you? All you watch are the sports and entertainment, and I should say the sports entertainment political machine. It's a sports entertainment politics machine, which is why smarter people in other times did not permit any single man or entity to own more than a few television stations and or a few radio stations in a place and or a few newspapers. They never, ever believed the day would come that any single individual could own all the newspapers, all the radio stations, all the book publishers, all the movie companies that you could ever imagine in one man's hand. If you think that's healthy for democracy, take a look at what's going on in this country.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to make a major announcement today. I would like to promise and pledge to all of my voters and supporters, and to all of the people of the United States, that I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
They didn't hear the punchline. Yeah, it's very funny. That's very funny. It sounds like a concession speech. That's what I don't like about it. He let the media back him into a corner. Why should he even have to say that? Of course he'll accept the election returns if they're legitimate. If George Soros is not have seen to have played with the voting results. Remember what Joseph Stalin wrote? You know old Joseph Stalin, don't you? That nice old Russian guy that you didn't study at Harvard? Oh, yeah. Oh, I know you know about Hitler and the Holocaust, as you should. But you don't know about old Joseph Stalin, the communist dictator of the same period. He said, it doesn't matter who runs for office. It doesn't matter who you vote for. It matters who counts the votes. So Soros now has vote counting machines in 16 states. And you think Trump has no right to ask whether they're accurate or not? And what about all the dead people on Hillary's rolls? Well known in the Democrat machine to use dead people to have people vote many times, even nice women from Brooklyn, as we saw in the election of 2000. Nice little yentas from Brooklyn voted twice. Once in Brooklyn and once in Palm Beach. Why not? Why, it didn't happen? Pardon the accent. They didn't vote twice or thrice? Some of them don't collect their dead husband's Social Security check for the next 30 years? Believe me, the corruption runs on every level. The bottom line is that, you know, who said it this way? There's larceny in everyone's heart. You ever hear that one? You ever hear that phrase? I learned it when I was 15. There's larceny in everyone's heart. And people generally get away with what they can get away with. So if the Hillary camp can get away with dead people voting three times, controlling the ballot, the voting machines, she will do so. That's why Trump is right. He will totally accept the election result if he wins. That's all. And if he doesn't win, he has a right to challenge it. If I remember correctly, Al Gore challenged the outcome of the 2000 election, didn't he? Wasn't there a great outcry by Al Gore and everyone else? And it's not so unusual to challenge the results of an election. Remember what I said to you at the beginning of the show. Remember what the Russian woman said, and you'll hear it again in hour number two. Where were you last night? What were the reactions where you were?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
All right, here we are. Nothing but show business, folks. Nothing to see. Let's move along. The Republic itself, forget about it. So what comments do you want to make? Because the lines are completely sold out. I asked you, where were you last night? What did people say? Who won the debate? What did you observe? I gave you my opinions in hour one, which I'd rather not repeat. But I think something that I played in hour one twice is worth playing once in this hour. And I was at a private venue last night, and I asked the Russian lady what she thought of the debate. And here's what she said last night to Michael Savage.
If she wins, says the Russian woman in America.
If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this.
In Russia. That's all panimaish.
Because we grew up with it. So they know what Hillary is. They were rooting for Trump. But being Russians, they celebrated one way or the other anyway. They went and had their dinner and their drinks, and they enjoyed their life. I knew Russians when I lived in New York. Oh, I don't know, 30 years ago, I really enjoyed being with them on their Christmas Eve, which is a different time, their New Year's Eve, which is different than ours, because they're on a different calendar. They sure know how to party. They also know how to go through traffic stops and evade the cops after drinking. I learned a trick. I told you I don't drink and drive. You have to just take me on it. I'm not crazy. I'm a prominent member of the American media. I would never risk my career by doing anything as crazy as that. But I remember meeting a Russian guy, heavy drinker, I don't remember his name. And he said, in Moscow, this is during the horrible period of Moscow, way back when, he said there were traffic stops everywhere. And, of course, they arrested people for drunk driving there, too, believe it or not. Other countries do. And he said, well, we had tricks. He said, we'd chew a cigarette before the... I said, what do you mean, chew a cigarette? He chewed up a cigarette, and so, I don't know what the tobacco did. Either it masked the breath or it sobered him up. I don't know what it did. I don't know if it helps him walk straight or whatever. So Zuckerberg defends some money that Peter Thiel has given to Trump. It's an amazing leaked memo that's very optimistic for all of us. Zuckerberg wrote a 5-paragraph statement to his own employees that Peter Thiel is a valued board member, because his opinion, be it political or not, represents a diversity among the company staff. Now, Peter Thiel is a founding Facebook board member who then went on to create another fortune by creating PayPal. He's also a conservative who just gave $1.25 million to Donald Trump's campaign. So Zuckerberg wrote this. He said, we can't create a culture that says it cares about diversity and then excludes almost half the country because they back a political candidate. This is Mark Zuckerberg now. There are many reasons a person might support Trump that do not involve racism, sexism, xenophobia, or accepting sexual assault. It may be because they believe strongly in smaller government, a different tax policy, health care system, religious issues, gun rights, or any other issue where he disagrees with Hillary. That probably is the most succinct statement I've ever read on this issue. So Thiel is supporting Trump, gave him $1.25 million. And Mr. Zuckerberg's backing of Thiel echoes a statement earlier this year by Facebook CEO Sheryl Sandberg, who in June said that Mr. Thiel's value was in his candid opinions and outspoken nature. She said, we have very different board members with very different thoughts. Those people make good board members because they have strong views that they're not afraid to show. That's the same. See, I wish they felt the same way about Michael Savage. I wish Hillary Clinton had the same respect for people who oppose her viewpoints that Mark Zuckerberg does. And my only hope is that if she wins, God forbid, and I say God forbid, I mean it. If she wins, God forbid, I pray to God that Zuckerberg and maybe some of the Google boys, maybe even Microsoft, will recognize that diversity, political diversity of that, is the most important thing that we have in this country. And the statement itself speaks for itself. It's beautifully written. There are many reasons, he writes, a person might support Trump that do not involve racism, sexism, xenophobia, or accepting sexual assault. It may be because they believe strongly in smaller government, a different tax policy, healthcare system, religious issues, gun rights, or any other issue where he disagrees with Hillary. Here's the part of our election process that I hate. One, the length of time it takes. Two, the low level of it. And three, the winner-take-all nature of it. I have long believed that our election system must be altered so that the winner becomes president and the loser becomes vice president. That way we do not have a monopoly of opinion. That way we have not so much a divided government as a balanced government. What would be wrong with the winner becoming president and the loser becoming vice president? And while we're at it, why not make Jill Stein Secretary of the Environment or something? Why not make the other guy, I don't even remember his name, I'm sorry, the guy doesn't know where Aleppo is. He thought Aleppo was a lip balm. I don't remember his name, I don't know where he... What's his name, Robert? Help me with it. I don't know him. Johnson Johnson, nice guy. He's the governor of Mars, New Mexico. But make him something. Give him something. Secretary of the Interior, okay? Comes from a big western state. Give him the national monuments to take care of. But, you know, there are followers of all of these people. Why should it go to one of them? And it goes the other way. If Trump wins, she should be vice president. What would be wrong with that? It would be not so much a divided government as a balanced government. I want you to think about this. If Trump wins, 50% of the country or more will be alienated and think that the government has been hijacked. There'll be unrest in the country. If Hillary wins, there'll be unrest in the country, riots, insurrection could come of it. There could be a revolution if she wins. That's because we can't have this winner-take-all mentality, especially in a time of a divided population. This is not a 60-40. This is not a 55-45. This is a 50-50 nation right now. It's as simple as that. And by the way, if you eliminate those who are voting for her who supply nothing to this country, and I mean that point blank, I told you the Savage Quotient is the best I've read yet, which is the nation is divided about 50-50 in the electorate. Of the 50% or so who support Hillary Clinton's socialist Islamist policies, 80% of them do not contribute anything to the tax base. Of the 50% of the electorate who supports Donald Trump, 80% of them supply, I would say the majority of all the taxes in this country. Actually, the 80% who support Trump support probably supply a 95% of all the taxes in the country. So how could you exclude the whole side? How can you celebrate and say, let them all go you know where? How can you do that in a country like this and not expect more division, more hatred, more civil unrest, more riots, more violence, and possibly even an American Revolution Part Two, if you're going to do this to the Trump supporters, if, God forbid, she steals the election or wins the election, right? So those are my opening comments in this hour. Here are some headlines. Iran takes more U.S. hostages and wants more ransom money. You didn't hear about that yet? That's Barack Obama's great deal with Iran. You hear this? Took more U.S. hostages and wants more ransom money. And what else is in the headlines? McCain again, him? Hillary and then Podesta says it's okay for illegals to vote with driver's license. Podesta should be arrested for insurrection. Podesta should be taken out by U.S. Marshals and arrested for that comment. In the latest WikiLeaks Podesta document, John Podesta actually says it is okay for illegals to vote if they have a driver's license. Trump has been saying the system is rigged. Then we read this leaked email. John Podesta. Quote, I think Teddy's idea scratches the itch. It's pretty safe and uncomplicated. On the picture ID, the one thing I've thought of in that space is that if you show up on election day with a driver's license, with a picture, attest that you are a citizen, you have a right to vote in federal elections. Almost half of California's driver's licenses went to illegal aliens last year. 12 states and D.C. allow driver's license to illegal immigrants. Now you know why we have such a corrupt, rotten government. Half of California's driver's licenses went to illegal aliens last year. How many years have I, Michael Savage, been calling the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, the Department of Mexican Voting? It used to be a joke, wasn't it? Is it racist? No, it's realist. I saw what Jerry Brown and the illegitimate machine did in this state. I saw it coming. I've voiced my protest against it to no avail. They are dictators. They want a no-party system. They want a pure dictatorship, which is what they have. They want no dissension. They want to be able to build railroads to nowhere, etc. I would go into the DMV. Here I am, an American citizen, born here. Born here. I can't even get a driver's license. It's so jammed with non-citizens getting fake IDs called driver's licenses in order to steal my elections from me. It makes you sick. It makes you sick. You want to go out and bring a militia in. And you want to take people in the DMV out of working there and arrest them. I'm telling you what I feel. I wish to God there was a militia that would go in and arrest the people in the motor vehicle bureaus for what they're doing to this country. That's what I used to feel. I don't actually do that. You know that. It's just a dream. I'm a fiction writer. I write fiction. I speak nonfiction. I speak nonfiction and I write fiction. How do you like that? And in that sense, I'm very balanced. So how did it go for you last night? What do you think about anything I said? What did people around you have to say? What did you think of the Russian woman and what she has to say? All this and more when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So much news aside from the election, I have to get it for you. There's a huge story coming out of the Philippines that we should not ignore. Obama has so alienated the president of the Philippines that the president of the Philippines, Duterte, is restoring ties with China and said goodbye to the U.S. He said, I will not go to America anymore. We will just be insulted there. This is a very important story for you, given the relentless disputes about land areas in the South China Sea. And here we see again another disaster of Obama's insulting policies. He insulted Putin. We're on the brink of World War III. He insulted the president of the Philippines. Now they're doing a deal with China. And he just skates along and fiddles while Rome burns. He's the Nero of our time. Do you want more of that? You keep it up. Go vote for the skirt. Go ahead. KBET Len, line 7, out of Las Vegas. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you know, listen, waiting for my opportunity to speak. Everything that you have said in the last hour is exactly why I was so pissed last night, and I felt so let down. You know, I've supported Trump since day one. I wrote him it took me an hour to write a letter to him when he first thought it said he was thinking about running, and to realize there's so much at stake. And she comes out here armed for bear on the last two debates. You know, she was prepared for every possible scenario that could come up, and he comes along. It's like, is his ego so big that he can't prepare? I felt so let down because for not just me, but for every one of his supporters. You know, Zuckerberg, that gave him $1.5 million or whatever. I mean, I'll bet.
No, it wasn't Zuckerberg who gave him $1.5 million. It was Zuckerberg's fellow board member, Peter Thiel, who's a Republican, who gave him $1.5 million. But you feel that Trump was not prepared. Is that what you're saying? He looked like he was out of his league?
Well, the fact is that he didn't even prepare. Does he feel he doesn't even need to prepare? He had so many opportunities, Michael, to attack her on every point, to refute so many things. I mean, he had it from her ties with the Saudis, the corruption of the foundation, you know, on and on, every turn, Planned Parenthood.
She's a much more skilled debater than him. She's much more prepared than he is. She's more glib than he is. She's a great liar. She's a fabulous liar, and she's able to skate because no one calls her on the carpet. It came close a few times, but I agree, Trump did not deliver the hard fists that were needed, in plain English.
No, I had to get up and go wax the car. I mean, I couldn't take it. I got up, then I come back. You know what I'm
What kind of wax did you use?
Well, I used, what was it? It's called it's Meguiar's.
Meguiar's, yeah, good stuff.
Synthetic.
No, I'd rather talk about car wax right now than the debate.
I'm thinking about you.
I think car wax would be more interesting. I wonder if car wax will be made outlawed when Hillary becomes president because it's bad for the environment.
That's exactly.
Think of all of the abandoned little old wax children out there who have been left alone and orphaned because we've killed off the wax parents to get the wax from their fur.
Yeah, she waxed so eloquent, you know, and she was...
Yeah, she waxed so... No, I think about it. Tell me, the wax animal has definitely been over-harvested. The poor old waxes are running like crazy in the woods from us evil car owners. And think of the poor orphaned wax children hiding in burrows around the world, all because us evil white men wax our cars with the product of the wax parents. I mean, that we're liable to hear that yet. I mean, it's going to be so bad. If she could stop smiling, that fixed smile is not chilling. It's disgusting. You want to talk about persona? How could anyone vote for her just based on the fact that you'd have to look at her face for another 8 years? Does anyone really want to look at that crazy face for 8 years? The woman looks nuts.
That's exactly right. You know, I would think
she looks like a crazy woman to me. A crazy woman with that fixed smile and that lipstick. Why do we have to look at that for 8 years? I mean, you say, what? Is that it's all about? Is it how she looks? You know, you can tell an awful lot about people by how they look, incidentally. Don't tell me that you can't judge a book by its cover in all cases. In her case, you can judge this book by her cover. And let me tell you something right now. The cover to Scorched Earth is a lot nicer than the cover to the Hillary Clinton socialist campaign. And that's exactly what I'm sending you right now. Not a copy of Hillary Clinton, but a copy of Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama, because I still think that in the 2.5 weeks that are left between now and the election, if you and everybody else listening to the show would just do one thing for me, give your copy of Scorched Earth away to a neighbor, a friend, a spouse, a child who doesn't know the danger we are in. I just told you what Obama has done with our relationships with Russia, with the Philippines, with Iran, with Saudi Arabia, with Israel. Do you think it's going to get any better under lipstick?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We could talk about this again, last night's debate, my views, or we could talk about anything else, because we're going to have to do it after the election. I would rather talk about cancer of the penis than this election. That's not a joke. I mean, it's a serious issue. About 150 men a year in England alone, 130 men a year in the UK die. That's two a week dying of a penile cancer. And maybe I can talk about the symptoms and what you should do. But it'd be more interesting to me to talk about this. I can't take it. The symptoms of penile cancer would be more interesting to me than this debate. But okay, I'm not going to do that because you'd rather only talk about the debate. The lumps, the weight loss, the tired, the abdominal pain, the smoking, the HPV. I can't go into this. It's more interesting to me than the... How much can we take of this? When will it be over? All right, let's do a little bit more of it. Today's Thursday. About the conceding the election already, that's an issue. Whatever he says is wrong. Whatever he says is no good and wrong. Trump happens to have made some great points. For example, in clip 8, he made a great point about open borders. Listen to it.
She wants open borders. People are going to pour into our country. People are going to come in from Syria. She wants 550% more people than Barack Obama. And he has thousands and thousands of people. They have no idea where they come from. And you see, we are going to stop radical Islamic terrorism in this country. She won't even mention the words, and neither will President Obama.
That's why he should be president right there. It's sad that we didn't hear any of this from the New York Post or the Daily News, New York Times, CBS. It's like they ignore the problem that is obvious to everyone in the Western world, that we are facing an existential struggle for our existence. He understands that, which is why he's gotten to this position. And, of course, the emails, we can forget that for the moment. That's not as real to me as the overrunning of our border by illegal aliens. Then go into the ISIS issue. You know and I know that we have not been at war with ISIS. It was a phony war. There was no war. We were funding them or looking the other way while they trampled across the Middle East, raping, killing, burning. And it was only when Russia started bombing them about a year ago that suddenly Obama said, yeah, me too. And he finally unleashed the U.S. Air Force intermittently against ISIS. But we really didn't know what side we were really on. And that's because we funded the so-called moderate terrorists in the Syrian civil war. How could you be a moderate terrorist? Well, Obama apparently knows the difference between a moderate terrorist and an immoderate terrorist because he funded the moderate ones. I still don't know the difference. So right now they're running for their lives out of one of the cities there that's under siege as a result of Russian bombing and Syrian Air Force bombing. Why would we be backing these horrible, horrible low-life subhumans? Why are we on their side? There's only one reason, if there's a reason at all. And that is because we wanted to use them as a Hessian army, so to speak, to take out Assad. Now, why did we want Assad gone? Did anyone ever think about that? Well, he's a dictator, yes. He's terrible, yes. But he's also not an Islamist. He's the opposite of an Islamist. And Assad has protected minority communities in Syria ever since he's been president. He's protected Christians, he's protected Jews, he's even protected Muslims. So we want to get rid of him and replace him with who? A front for the Muslim Brotherhood that will, what, burn churches and burn synagogues and kill Christians and Jews and moderate Muslims? What sense does that make? It makes no sense. This is an administration that has no head. Many of us think that these are brilliant women, the sorority, running this country. They're not brilliant. They look like a bunch of hysterical women. They don't know what they're doing from day to day. They've alienated the Philippines. They've alienated Russia. Everyone on earth that was our ally is now our enemy. Do I have to say the word Israel? Everything they've touched has gone up in smoke. And yet they're popular because of the welfare state. And because of the welfare state, they can buy their popularity. Now you know why John Podesta was found to have said in a leaked email that illegal aliens in America should be able to vote with an ID card, with a driver's license. Now you know why Jerry Brown has turned this state of California into an appendage of Mexico. How else do you think he can hold on to this power? The taxpayers don't like him, especially those of us who are the most productive citizens of California. We don't like what he's doing to us nor to the state. But we've lost our voice. He's a very smart man, isn't he? Isn't it great that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that this liberal governor of ours here in California doesn't even understand that he's totally corrupt, and that this liberal president of ours doesn't realize he's become the poster boy for absolute power corrupts absolutely? Don't you love that they have become the very enemy that they were warned about when they were young liberals? Does it matter to them? No. Power is a sort of an aphrodisiac. Absolute power makes these men and women drunk. I don't need it. What do I need power for? All I need is my health. So what were your reactions last night watching the debate? Or would you rather I talk about penile cancer? Because I can do that as well. And the symptoms to look for and how to prevent it, if you like me to. Or I can read from Scorched Earth. Or I can read from Banned in Britain. I have a real treat coming for you. I told you that in the first hour. I put up a very inexpensive digital version on Amazon Kindle of the Banned in Britain book, because it contains the entire correspondence showing the corruption of the British government. I would say it was not long before, but just before it fell to radical Islam. I was a seminal issue in the fall of Britain. I was the one used as a sacrificial lamb by the British in order to placate the radical Muslims in England. They put me on this ban list to placate the Muslims. Did you know that? So you say, well, what do I care about you? Well, I don't care if you care about me, but if you'd like to know what Hillary's liable to do, read the secret emails that are in there, and you can find the letter I wrote to Hillary Clinton, which you've not seen yet. And I would say document it while it's still legal to do so. And I'm not going to get rich. I'll tell you point blank, no, I'm not going to get rich for it. No. How many going to sell? 1,000 copies? But why did I put it up on my website? Why did I give you the ability to buy a digital copy of Banned in Britain? Buy it before Hillary wins and bans the record of her deceit. That's why. It's a digital version. What'll I sell? 2,000 copies? I can't even buy a new set of tires for my car for what I'll make on it. But think of it. If 2,000 of you buy a copy of Banned in Britain, digital version, you'll have a permanent record of what she did because it's in there. Right? Then I have a surprise coming for you next week. I'll just leak it right now. It's hard for... Where is it? Off the right up here it is? I don't know. Now, or should I wait till next week? I'll tease it now. Here's the surprise. Where is it? Nah, I'll do it next week. I just hinted it now. You know I'm a best-selling nonfiction author. government zero, stop the coming civil war, trickle up poverty, trickle down tyranny, now scorched earth. Every one of these books has gone on the New York Times bestseller list, thanks to you, the listeners. So you love my nonfiction. I'm a cogent writer. I'm clear thinking. And you love it. Okay. But before I was a nonfiction writer, I was a fiction writer, along with writing books on health and nutrition and vitamins and herbs, which I had a passion for. I was writing fiction. So I put together for you, and it'll be up next week on Kindle, and again, in a very inexpensive version, because I don't want to have to go through a publisher and beg them to publish it and go through the whole torture of publishing and promoting and this and that. I don't want to do it. I'm taking all of my early fiction that's worth anything, and I'm putting it up on Kindle editions. And you're not going to believe the one I'm putting up next week. I wish I had. Could you play music for me or a soundbite? I've got to go get what I wrote about it. You got to see this. It's not ready yet. I shouldn't even talk about it.
But my real name is
radio. It's so great. Unscripted live radio. It's so natural. It's wonderful. It's like being with you every day on the show, and it is. So many years of being with you. I found a novel that I had started called The Survivor or Survivor. And what it's about is about a family. It's about a nuclear war between Russia and the U.S., written in 1981 or 82. The last time that we had a bad situation with Russia, we're all afraid of a nuclear war. So I wrote The Survivor. It's about a submarine commander who has a family and what happens on one weekend when there's an out of nowhere, there's a nuclear exchange between Russia and the U.S. Honolulu is evaporated. Then a city in Russia is evaporated. And it's how he tries to make a run for the South Pacific with his family to survive in a sort of Swiss Family Robinson-esque novella or novel. And I'm not going to read it yet because I'm not ready to post it. It'll take another week or so to get it up for you, called The Survivor. But you'll see how much I understand about this subject because I lived in the shadow of nuclear war from a child. And here I am living with a maniac, a madman in the White House surrounded by crazy women who are actually provoking Russia. Right as we talk, it didn't even come up last night. Nobody brought up, Mr. Wallace, the fact that the Russians are sailing a fleet through the English Channel, a nuclear fleet. You didn't bring that up, did you? So my agent, Ian Kleinert of Objective Entertainment, reviewed it back in 4/26/16 when I sent it to him. He said he'll never find a publisher for it. He said the writing is superb, the themes are terrifically complex. If nothing less, you putting this out as part of the collected writings does offer insight to you in a way that students of Savage would enjoy immensely. It's fascinating for me to read it, knowing this was where your head was at in the late 80s. So much of your current voice is in there, but it's also very different as well. He said it's like seeing an early work of Picasso. It's called The Survivor. I wrote most of it, and then the rest was an outline. It has a beautifully illustrated cover. It'll be up next week. But it's about what happens if there's an exchange between Russia and the U.S. And my hero, the captain, has prepared for such an eventuality because I was very into sailing and boating at the time. And it's how he outfitted his wooden boat to survive radiation fallout in the middle of the ocean with his family. What happens when they get to the island? It's a whole sequence of events here. And I thought it was very... I read it again. I said, is it good? It was very good. I liked it. So I'm going to put it up next week. Look for it on Kindle next week, The Survivor. It will never be a movie. It will never be a movie because there are no minorities in it. There is no dirty sex in it. There are no guns in it. There are no gangbangers speaking 16 words of English. And so, therefore, it is doomed, and Hollywood will never, ever touch it. But nevertheless, it's an important document of reality written by yours truly. So it'll be up next week called The Survivor. That's all. I thought I'd mention it. I really shouldn't mention it in advance because I really want to start reading from it, which is what I'm going to do next week. I cannot wait to read from this fiction for you next week because it will entertain you and it'll keep me excited. And you'll decide for yourself if it's worth getting a Kindle copy. Again, I don't expect it to sell more than, I don't know, that'll sell probably, I guess, 10,000 copies is my guess. on Kindle. 8 to 10,000. Again, what am I going to buy with that at $5 or so? Very little. I'm not looking to get rich from it. What I'm doing now is it's a terrible thing to admit, is I'm trying to create a legacy for myself. I don't want stuff dying and winding up in the garbage. Remember I told you I worked in my father's antique store when I was a little boy? I used to clean bronzes in the basement down in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. I wrote about it. Many of you love those stories. But during those years, to keep myself from going bonkers, I would rifle through the barrels of the, quote, trash that was thrown out by the men in that store. And that, quote, trash consisted of manuscripts, compositions, and photographs of people who had died, and their belongings were left on either on the wharfs of New York or at subway auctions. And the guys were poor guys, my father and his cohorts, and they'd buy, you know, trunks at subway auction. And they'd buy it, you know, they would bid based upon what the trunk looked like at the auction. In those days, they didn't open the trunks and nobody would have bought them because they knew the auctioneer would have stolen everything, taken everything of value out of it. So what would they buy it for? These were poor merchants. They were looking for a piece of silver, a piece of gold, a wristwatch, something they could sell. So they would bid based upon how the suitcase looked, $5, $6. And the greatest fun for me of all time was being a school kid and coming back into that store late at night after a subway auction when the men, each of them, would be opening up the trunks that they bought and say, "Hey, Charlie, look what I found. Hey, Benny, look what I found. Murray, look what I found." It was fun. It was exciting. I've written about that. But as I said to you, they would throw out what was of no commercial value to them. They couldn't sell it. So those would be the photographs of a person's life. And you'd see the young man leaving New York for Paris, where he was going to be a great composer. And he'd be waving on the dock. And then somehow the series of pictures of him in Paris, he'd look increasingly disheveled. Until at the end there was nothing left of him. And he came home to New York probably completely defeated. He was not successful. And it was so bad that they just sold his trunk. Well, I found those photographs amazing and I found the compositions awesome. But you see, my friends, I learned something in cleaning out those, quote, junky barrels. I learned that there was the heart and soul of human beings in them. And I don't want my heart and soul thrown in the garbage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Look, I feel obligated to tell you what just has happened. Just for the heck of it, I posted the Banned in Britain Kindle version at the beginning of the show. $5 or something. I figured I'd sell 1,000 copies so you'd have a permanent record of what Hillary Clinton actually did and what she just might do to someone else before they might ban the book. God knows what she's going to do if she wins. I just went on Kindle. It's number one in Kindle store, Kindle eBooks, nonfiction on censorship and politics, which I find amazing. How did that happen? Number one in Kindle store. Go to Amazon. Under censorship, specific topic censorship. Number one, Kindle. Just in the few hours the show's Banned in Britain, beating the liberal backlist, Kindle $5.99. A definitive book about the fight for free speech and how one man stood firm against an entire government to free his name from a list of murderers and terrorists book jacket. This was a hardcover book. You're getting the Kindle for that, a few bucks. Again, I'm not publishing, I'm not pushing a book, although I'm not ashamed to push a book that I write. I am telling you that if she wins, Hillary might ban the record of her deceit. She will probably want to expunge any record of what she did and didn't do in order to present herself as a nominee for Mount Rushmore. Can you imagine if they have to put her on Mount Rushmore as the first woman president? Let's leave that for the comedians. I doubt very much that they'll touch it because all of them are so to the left or center, it's not funny.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
If she wins, says the Russian woman in America.
If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this.
Can we declare the election is over now? Should we just say it's over because we can't take it anymore? Do you have election fatigue like I do? Are you fed up with it already? You can't stand it anymore? The people with yellow teeth and failing hair who are on every channel telling us who won? Well, the election's not over. A couple of more weeks and it will be over. And then what are we going to talk about? Who won and who lost? Yes, that's what you expect. But I'm not going to much. Here we have stories such as Russia sailing a nuclear fleet through the English Channel because of what Obama has done to relations with Russia, which are the worst they've been in 50 years. Not one question from Walachinsky. Here we have the president of the Philippines saying he's through with the U.S. He is courting China. He is going to do deals with China, military and otherwise. Not one word in the media. Again, it's about the same thing, the same stuff that we're tired of. We can't take it. And we know the election is rigged. We know the Democrat machine is built upon fraud, the fraud of illegal alien voters. We know that the state of California has been completely hijacked by the Democrat machine, who used the Department of Mexican Voting to grant licenses to illegal aliens so they could then vote, stealing our state from us or out from under our feet. We know that. We know that activists were used to disrupt Trump rallies. They should all be arrested, but they won't be because we have a criminal government. And yes, we know that partial birth abortion involves ripping an unborn child apart and selling the body parts. But Barack Obama doesn't care. And there are no economic gains, because if there have been any economic gains under Barry Obama, all of them have gone to his friends in the billionaire and trillionaire class. And no, we did not cut the deficit by two-thirds. And yes, Hillary does want to double capital gains taxes. And yes, Hillary does want a 550% increase in Syrian refugees in the U.S. And yes, we do not know who is responsible for WikiLeaks. We have no idea who is doing it. So, there's a lot to talk about. We don't know who's going to win. It's 50-50. My opinion, I told you already. First, second debates. He won one, she won one. She won the first, he won the second. Yesterday was a draw. She was better prepared than him, but he won on the facts. She won on delivery. He stumbled a little bit because he's just not a smooth speaker. He's just not a smooth speaker. This is why he's popular. Look at what we had with this glib sophist called Barack Obama. Barack Obama, if he is anything, is a sophist. I know it's related to the word sophisticate, but it's not really what I'm referring to. He's not that sophisticated. He's a sophist. S-O-P-H-I-S-T. He is a sophist, and look what we have as a result. Very skilled orator. And look what he's done to this country and the world. She's in the line of being another sophist. A skilled liar says one thing to the people and does another. And so, look, the people have a choice, and we don't know what they're going to do yet. The entire entertainment establishment, as a result of years of drug use and not knowing reality, they support her. Fake entertainer. Entertainers who are quite good as entertainers, who pretend to be rebels. That's the part I love. Like Bruce Springsteen. I never liked his music. I always thought it was like a Hallmark card of a rebel. He's like a fake rebel. Like a fake Hell's Angel. That's what a lot of these rock musicians are, is like fake Hell's Angels. Like a tough 130-pound Irishman can knock him out with one punch. But they all put on the act like they're big rebels without a cause. Springsteen says Donald Trump's speeches are an attack on the entire Democratic process. Now, what sense does that make when half the American people know that that's a lie? And don't you love that Bruce Springsteen, you thought was Mr. America with Born, whatever he did. I forget his song that was a big show. Oh, yeah, he's a conservative. He's nothing. Just a drug-addled entertainer, in my opinion. Boy, am I glad that I ended. I'm glad I said entertainer, in my opinion. So, look, we do have a lot to talk about. And if you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-472-8282. And again, I want to say something that happened during the show to show you the power of the show. I posted a digital copy on Amazon Kindle of Banned in Britain, only $5, $5.99, and it's now number one, which I find hard to believe because it hasn't sold that many. Ryan, how many have sold? I don't want to make you think it's sold millions of copies. It hasn't. I couldn't even buy a set of new tires for my bicycle yet. But the point is that people want a copy of this book in a digital version, because if she's going to want to purge the record of what she wrote. It's in the book. And what I wrote to her, it's in the book. It's in the Kindle edition. And that's the... I don't know why it's not on my website anymore. It's like I purged already. I can't even... Oh, there it is, in the middle. Kindle edition, banned in Britain, only $5.99. Buy it before Hillary wins and bans the record of her deceit. So I click on it. I'm very slow. Oh, I have a computer like from... Yeah, You've Got Mail days. Oh, God, it's so slow. How does AOL stay in business, by the way? I have the worst email in the history of the universe. This is like using a Royal Portable instead of a supercomputer. Why is it so slow? Okay, I can't even download it on my computer. I can't work anymore. It's so bad. Then I told you about an anti-nuclear novel that I wrote called Survivor, which will be up next week. One of my early unfinished novels, written between 1983 and 1988. You're going to see a different me, but it's actually the same me. The Survivor is an anti-nuclear story from a conservative writer and talker. And it tells the tale of how two families try to survive after a limited nuclear exchange between the U.S. and Russia. Was I prophetic? I hope so. I hope not. I hope so. I hope not. I hope so. I hope not. Filled with the details Savage is known for, this story will take the reader on both a sea passage to Mexico and the South Pacific and a mind trip to a world we all fear and for which few are prepared. Next week. Kindle. So right now, Banned in Britain as a Kindle book is number one in politics. I don't know how that happened. It didn't sell that many. But okay, it shows you that we have the way now to bypass publishers, bypass agents, bypass the media, and go right to the consumer. It's awesome. As a, you know, a guy started as a poet and a writer. It's beautiful to be, you know, able to do that. You can't live on it. Can't live on such sales, you know. Can you explain to me why no one called me about my touching story about the antique store and the barrels and the thrown away lives in the trunks and why you don't care about it? Can you tell me what's going on in this country that no one cares about the heart and soul of anything anymore? I can't talk about the election. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. I'm on strike. My brain just went on strike. I won't do it. I will not talk about Hillary. I will not talk about Trump. I'm finished for the day. Case closed. You ever go to the old-time stores in those old days? The guys would close the store in the middle of a work day because he wanted to have lunch, and you couldn't believe he would do that in this day and age. How dare you close your store? It said closed for lunch, and you would go crazy, like, why aren't you open? I'm closed for lunch. I will not talk about the debate. I won't talk about Hillary and him and how they did. Done. Been done all day. It'll be done all night. And then it's over. And then you'll vote already. What's this? We'll have some bad hombres. Trump said that. Why is that so? Why is that racist to say this in clip 12? Let's listen to it and see. What are they making of this now?
We have some bad, bad people in this country that have to go out. We're going to get them out. We're going to secure the border. And once the border is secured, at a later date, we'll make a determination as to the rest. But we have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
Why is that a bad statement? We know it's true. Look around your cities. Where are all the drugs coming from? What, is he making it up out of thin air? Look at the idiots in the media. He says one word, hombres, already he's a racist. You hear the stupidity of the media? No, they're idiotic. They're an embarrassment. You know, if it's one... You know, I said this to someone I know in the media. I said, careers have been made and lost during this election. My career has gone way up. Others have destroyed themselves by supporting the wrong candidate and attacking Donald Trump before they supported him. It's true. It's a reality. Take a look at this idiot from Weekly Standard. He was crying on Morning Joe this morning. But I will tell you something else. Some careers have been destroyed forever, and those will be mainly the people in the media. Destroyed. Anderson Cooper, finished. Gone. He never really had a big following. He was always a construct. And he's finished. He has he had little credibility. Nothing left. That's all. Zero. Wallace went up a little bit. Let the dog out. He just ate. Wallace went up, Cooper went down, Blitzer was never anything, but he's finished, no credibility, careers have been made and broken. But I would rather talk about manuscripts thrown in a barrel. Let me tell you, is there everyone listening to the show, you all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you are archivists for your own family. Don't you keep photographs of grandparents and relatives? Have people stopped doing that, Robert? Robert's a young guy who's just been married, you know. He's going to have a family one day. Don't you want pictures of your father and grandfather? And what if they wrote books? Wouldn't you want to read any of their manuscripts? Would you want them thrown in the garbage because they're worthless? Well, okay, that's where I'm coming from. That's why I have high-hearted archivists. That's why I've been working on these things for years now. You have no idea. You know that I spent 6 months of last year going through all my 8mm and Super 8mm footage from 1966 through the current time? Remember those old movie cameras? Raise your hand if you remember them. Everyone had one before the little iPhones. We actually had a thing called movie camera where we had to put actual rolls of film in them. Everybody was a little mini Pennebaker in the 60s. Everybody was a little hip filmmaker. Everybody was making their own home movies with, you know, double exposures and flashes of light. Well, I went through it, and some of the footage was extraordinarily good. I worked with a film editor for 6 months, and I put together a family thing out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours, a 57-minute film of the family going all the way back to my father's store. No one could believe it. All the way up to, like, the children being born, first skiing, first birthday party. You know, you look at yourself, it's like, it's hard to do. A lot of people don't want to do this. It's very hard to do because you see yourself aging. And people get frightened. They say, oh, my God, look how I looked. Well, I'm not ashamed of how I look now. I mean, it's just like, what am I supposed to do? Stop time? I don't live in Silicon Valley where I think I'm going to live forever. But I did it. I put it together for the family. Whether they'll ever watch it or not, I don't know. I mean, I don't think the kids are interested in this stuff. Actually, I do remember. I showed it to my son. God bless him. You know what he said to me about 4 months ago? He said, he's very quiet. He doesn't talk a lot. He's very, very to the point. He said, Dad, you really love me. That's all he said. It was worth every second that I put into making that little family movie. Because he saw how I held him when he was a baby. And he saw everything in that. How did he know how I treated him when he was a baby unless he saw that movie? They don't know. But he saw how I loved him. That was worth everything to me. So that's why I say, you know, archives are very important to families as they are to a nation. And I could generalize now and go into the whole national frame right now. We have to remember where we came from as a nation to know where she's liable to take us. And no one said it better than that Russian woman last night in that private venue, which I'm going to play for you again. One sentence says it all, Robert. Play it for the audience.
If she wins, says the Russian woman in America.
If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this.
In Russia. That's all, panimaешь.
There it is, one sentence. She didn't have to speak for 30 hours. If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America, because we lived through it in Russia. They would never have believed that 30 years after they fled the tyranny of Russia, they'd wake up to a tyrannical woman who wants to do the same thing here. But if you people are too stupid to know where she wants to take you, I can't help you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Tonight they're going to do another speech. I swear to God, I just learned this. They're going to the Catholic Charities Al Smith dinner. And they're going to sit at the same table. That's Hillary and him again. Another. There's no end to this. They think the people can take it endlessly. There's liable to be a riot in the country if we have to put up with this another week. And Cardinal Dolan is going to sit between them. Now, normally people use this opportunity to be lighthearted. In the past, in 2000, George W. Bush was at this dinner that's coming up tonight. And he joked. He said, this is an oppressive crowd. The haves and the have-mores. Some people will call you the elite. I call you my base. That's funny. I doubt we're going to see a sense of humor tonight. Ben on KSFO. Ben, what's your point? Welcome to the program.
Yeah, Mike, I was listening to your story about the photos of some of them subway auctions that you attended. At one point in my career, I used to work for a garbage company. My job was to run ahead of the truck and pull the cans out from the buildings. And when I would do that, sometimes I would look inside the dumpsters, and I would find photos, suitcases, shoes, eyeglasses, and mementos of people's lives. And one.
Okay, but what, you're a rare guy, Ben. It touched you. I hear in your voice it touched you, correct? And you felt something odd about throwing it out, right?
It did, because one thing that it reminded me of was the old World War II Auschwitz movies. When you see all these personal effects and some of the documents that were in there, like one of this this family that was a divorce, and you see the photos of the family, and you're reading the documents, you're like, holy cow, and this whole family just thrown in a dumpster. And when you're telling the story...
Ben, you see, there's not a lot of people like us left. This generation, this age, cares nothing about the past. They could care less. There was nothing before they were born. They think that they were the original human being, that nothing came before them, that they were born in the world. There was no world before them.
Interesting.
So, well, there's nothing you could do about it. You can't change people, Ben. All you could do is go on with what you believe in. Well, I'm going to send you a copy of Scorched Earth, which is certainly not a memento. It's for now in the future. I think you'll find it very interesting. Are you feeling election fatigue? Where did you watch the debate last night? What were the reactions in the room? I told you, as I have for 2 hours now, I watched it in a private venue in San Francisco with the cable cars dingling below me. I love going there because it's the quintessential spot in San Francisco. Okay, when I'm there, I know I'm in San Francisco. I've been here for so many years, since 1974, but it's only when I'm on that hill listening to the cable cars below me having a drink and talking to nice people that I feel like I'm in the city. Because not everybody's a psycho lib from you know where. There are people who know what this country is about and know that our country is being stolen from us.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, I uncovered through the WikiLeaks last weekend a letter from Hillary Clinton, an email from her account saying, don't do anything for Michael Savage. It was a shocking story. I screamed about it. I railed against this. I couldn't believe this on Monday. Almost zero effect on the media. The media is now Izvestia. The media is already Pravda. After 8 years of Barry, we have Pravda and Izvestia in place. Gone. Finished. There is no independent media, except for a few sites. A few talk show hosts. That's it. It's gone. It's government-controlled media, government-controlled press. How? Do they tell them what to say? They may as well give them a script every day. So what's the difference? So the few independent voices will disappear. I don't mean we'll be rounded up with bags over our head, comma, necessarily, period. But let's say there will be laws put in place by the fascist dictatorship of the feminists around Hillary. And these fascists will not stop until they crush every opponent in America. Now, having said that, I have a positive note. I don't want to make it so dark. Wait, no, let me go back to the... I do have one positive note. It's about Mark Zuckerberg defending Trump. You won't believe this. I have an email that Mark Zuckerberg sent that is so promising, it's frightening. Who knows, he could come to our rescue yet. He actually defended Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg owns Facebook. An all-around genius. I don't like his politics. But he's endorsing Peter Thiel to his Facebook staff in a leaked internal menu. He's supporting Peter Thiel. I'll tell you more about it. It's a very important story. It shows you that there's hope, because if Mark Zuckerberg can support opponents of his politically, calling it political diversity, there is hope for America. The problem is Hillary's people don't believe in diversity in political opinion. They are pure, absolute ideologues of the worst kind. Zuckerberg defends Trump endorsing Peter Thiel to Facebook staff in leaked internal memo. This is our only hope right now. If she wins, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is defending his company's relationship with its board member Peter Thiel after news that the latter would be donating $1.25 million to the presidential campaign of Mr. Donald Trump. Zuckerberg's comments came in the form of an internal memo reportedly posted to the company's intra-company Facebook platform. Hacker News acquired a photograph of the post, and Boing Boing wrote the initial report. This is a very big deal, because it shows Zuckerberg is not as leftist, not as a greater threat to our freedom of speech, or freedom of the press, as you may think. And since he is so powerful and so high up in the food chain, there is hope that if he does this, then the Google boys will do it, and the others will stand up to any fascism that may come along down from the campaign of Hillary Clinton. This is how I see it. I realize I'm ahead of the curve, and you're not following this 100% yet, all of you. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying this is not well known. In other words, not only the memo, a five-paragraph statement to employees saying that Mr. Peter Thiel is a valued board member because his opinion, be it political or not, represents a diversity among the company staff. That is the first break with the fascism of the left that I have seen at a major level. And if Zuckerberg is doing this, it means that the others will do it. It means they're aware that 50% of the country will be pissed off if Trump doesn't win. But going back to Bannon Britain, so I found the email from WikiLeaks, and what we did was we got lots of coverage, no coverage. Few people talked about it. That was the end of it. So I dug up copies of the book, which we found, and I put it up for sale, whatever. Then I realized most people don't want to buy an old book that costs a lot of money because they're rare copies. I found the e-file of the book, the digital file of Bannon Britain, with the entire documentation of what this State Department did to me and what it will do to you. Well, guess what? Racing around the clock with a staff of a few people very dedicated to this freedom of the press thing, we now have to offer you for only a few dollars the digital copy of Bannon Britain. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. I'm not going to get rich from it. If I sell 1,000 copies, add up the money at $5 or so, what am I going to get rich from, $5,000? No, but the 1,000 copies that might sell, or 2,000, if that, would go in the hands of the American Patriot Movement, who will have a permanent record before this book is either thrown into a pyre, and she burns books or she bans books. You will see who she is. You won't be able to see who she is after January if she wins. Okay? So now, having said that, now we move back. Panyamayesh yet? Do you follow? So I had already... I drank heavily last night. I got to be honest with you. I knew it was a tense night. Some nights I don't drink anything, just so you know. Don't say, oh, he drinks a lot. I never drink during the day. Let me clear it up. Never, except maybe a weekend I'll have a glass of beer. That's about it. I usually never drink because it makes me groggy, tired. But last night, okay, so a couple of drinks into the night, and I start chatting with the folks who were there, and again, I said, tell my audience, and I didn't know my assistant was I did say record it. I didn't know till a minute before the show he actually recorded it. It's on the log. You got to hear it again. Listen to how succinct this Russian lady is in telling us what to expect when the Dragon Lady wins, if that's what happens. Listen again.
If she wins, says the Russian woman in America.
If she wins, we'll tell you what's going to happen to America from now on, because we grew up with this.
In Russia.
You know, maybe I ought to do more of these live on the scene with the recording thing. I think that would be fun. Well, what's your observation? Who won? My opinion? First debate, she won. Second debate, he won. Last night was a draw. If it was a three-round fight, the whole thing is a draw, by the way. It's like the nation itself is 50-50. We don't know how this is going to end up. Now, with the voter fraud out there and the Soros counting machines out there, it doesn't look good for me. Doesn't look good for America. And as I was taking my morning constitutional bicycle ride, me and Dr. Kellogg, this morning, I was thinking, what will America be like a year from now if this monster wins? What is it going to be like if she actually can jam through all of her left-wing fanatical agenda? Well, I had the nightmarish visions of first goes the First Amendment, and it won't go overnight. She's not going to suddenly say you can't say what you want or write what you want or publish what you want. That is not how sneaks do it. That is not how liars do it. That's not how demagogues do it. That is not how dictatorships emerge. We are already halfway there. We're more than halfway there because of the greatest sneak in the history of the American. The man snuck his way into the White House. The man pulled off another charade and won a second time. The man in the White House has taken us at least 50-60% down the road of the Soviet system. Maybe in some areas, 100%. We now have the number one spying system in the whole world, and is being used to spy on ordinary Americans. That means you. That means you liberals. It means you libertarians. It means you anarchists. It means you sex maniacs. All of you are being spied upon by the government you elected under Barry. So it's only a step now, one or two steps from that, to the secret police rounding people up who, let us say, post something on social networks that they find threatening to the social order. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was done already. Oh, they're already rounding them up. I'm sorry, I missed that one. Oh, sorry, the FBI already does that. I think they already come to the house and take you away with a bag over your head. That's right, suddenly we become Argentina. Only this time it's not the generals. This time it's the feminists behind it. So I think that will get worse. Nevertheless, the issue of the debate itself is the issue of the debate itself. Who won? How can you answer that? It is so subjective that it's impossible to answer. Someone sent this to me, is America good? While watching last night, this young lady wrote, I had to know where that quote Hillary keeps using came from. Clinton kept saying America is great because America is good. It's out of context. She said the quote is attributed to Alexis de Tocqueville. Although the authorship is challenged by historians, regardless, it seems almost prophetic. Is America still good? Will we continue to be so? She said, I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school system and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her Democratic Congress and in her matchless Constitution. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And the individual who sent this to me summarized it in one sentence as follows. The safeguard of morality is religion, and morality is the best security of law, as well as the surest pledge of freedom. Isn't that beautiful? I hope you enjoyed that, because the churches are emptying out. They've become basically drunk tanks. There's a church in the area where I live. No one goes to it anymore. It's in an affluent neighborhood. The pews are empty. The people don't believe in anything out here except, though, I guess, meal appliances or something along that line. They sort of worship cars and appliances in the area in which I live. Now, you can hear in my voice that I'm not optimistic that Donald Trump is going to be president. I don't know if he can win. How does anyone really know how this is going to turn out? We know he needed a knockout last night, and we know he didn't get it. Let's put it to you that way, all right? The first two were a draw. This was a draw. It's a three-round fight, and it's like, no one's a winner. He needed a definitive knockout. When I walked into the bar last night, the first thing I noticed was a subdued Donald Trump. He seemed very muted. It didn't even look like him. The bluster was gone. But it was a calculation on his part to be very measured, very controlled, and not come across as too hard. Because his staff told him, and I don't know if they're right or wrong, to, not look threatening, don't look like an alpha male. He made his points, but they didn't come across as strongly as I would have liked. Now, of course, look, there's always the risk that if he went off like a rocket and became a talk show host up there, he certainly would have appealed to his base even more so. But would he have alienated the middle of the roaders, though those who don't know? It's hard to say. Maybe his staff made the right decision. I can't tell you. He was a little too muted for me. He looked very presidential. He was in control. He landed a few shots. There was no knockout. I was shocked by one thing. And I'll admit it, I'm an honest guy. I was leery of Meatloaf Jr. I put Meatloaf Jr. down. I when I had Donald Trump on the show Monday, I told him if Meatloaf comes at him what to do. I was shocked that Meatloaf was the best of all the moderators. Meatloaf, my hat goes off to you. No, I'm telling you, Wallace was the most dignified of all the moderators to date. He's far better than any of the others. That's what I saw. He surprised me. That's all. I have election fatigue beyond election fatigue. I have election death. I've had enough. I can't take another second. Can we vote today? Is there a chance we can possibly vote today? Or must we pay the piper of the people who run the media, the government media complex, who want to milk us for every last ounce of our DNA? How much can we take of this crap? I'll tell you what I'm going to demand. Of course it'll go nowhere. I demand the election systems in America be changed. I am sick of this. I want presidential elections to be no longer than 90 days. I am sick of this garbage. This is an outrage. It's sickening. It's paralyzed the nation. It has embarrassed the world. It has exhausted the intellect of the United States of America, and we deserve better. This election system was created at a time when there was no, not even a telegraph. There was no telegram. There was no typewriter. There was no telephone. There was no internet. What the heck do we need an election system like this for in an age of instant communication? It's an outrage. It's an insult. 90 days or less, I've had enough of this. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So Zuckerberg defends some money that Peter Thiel has given Trump. It's an amazing leaked memo that's very optimistic for all of us. Zuckerberg wrote a five-paragraph statement to his own employees that Peter Thiel is a valued board member because his opinion, be it political or not, represents a diversity among the company's staff. Now, Peter Thiel is a founding Facebook board member who then went on to create another fortune by creating PayPal. He's also a conservative who just gave $1.25 million to Donald Trump's campaign. So Zuckerberg wrote this. He said, "We can't create a culture that says it cares about diversity and then excludes almost half the country because they back a political candidate." This is Mark Zuckerberg now. "There are many reasons a person might support Trump that do not involve racism, sexism, xenophobia, or accepting sexual assault. It may be because they believe strongly in smaller government, a different tax policy, health care system, religious issues, gun rights, or any other issue where he disagrees with Hillary." That probably is the most succinct statement I've ever read on this issue. So Thiel is supporting Trump, gave him $1.25 million. And Mr. Zuckerberg's backing of Thiel echoes a statement earlier this year by Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg, who in June said that Mr. Thiel's value was in his candid opinions and outspoken nature. She said, "We have very different board members with very different thoughts. Those people make good board members because they have strong views that they're not afraid to show." That's the same. See, I wish they felt the same way about Michael Savage. I wish Hillary Clinton had the same respect for people who oppose her viewpoints that Mark Zuckerberg does. And my only hope is that if she wins, God forbid, and I say God forbid, I mean it. If she wins, God forbid, I pray to God that Zuckerberg and maybe some of the Google boys, maybe even Microsoft, will recognize that diversity, political diversity at that, is the most important thing that we have in this country. And the statement itself speaks for itself. It's beautifully written. "There are many reasons," he writes, "a person might support Trump that do not involve racism, sexism, xenophobia, or accepting sexual assault. It may be because they believe strongly in smaller government, a different tax policy, health care system, religious issues, gun rights, or any other issue where he disagrees with Hillary." Here's the part of our election process that I hate. One, the length of time it takes. Two, the low level of it. And three, the winner-take-all nature of it. I have long believed that our election system must be altered so that the winner becomes president and the loser becomes vice president. That way we do not have a monopoly of opinion. That way we have not so much a divided government as a balanced government. What would be wrong with the winner becoming president and the loser becoming vice president? And while we're at it, why not make Jill Stein Secretary of the Environment or something? Why not make the other guy, I remember his name, I'm sorry, the guy doesn't know where Aleppo is. Johnson, nice guy. Make him something, give him something, Secretary of the Interior, okay? Comes from a big western state. What would be wrong with that? It would be not so much a divided government as a balanced government.
Savage.